So welcome back to our studies on the end times. We've come a long way so far, starting with the apostasy, the period that we are in right now, the Laodicean age, and that precedes the rapture of the church. After the rapture, the church will be in heaven and will experience the judgment seat of Christ, followed by the marriage supper of the Lamb. On earth, with the church removed, the way will be open for the Antichrist and the false prophet to come together and take a stranglehold on the world. These two men will be possessed by Satan, and the three of them will form this unholy trinity that will work together to bring the world to Armageddon and to the destruction of Israel. That, of course, will not happen. Jesus will intervene in what we call the second coming of Jesus, and that is the visible return of the Lord. But before all of that happens, before the return happens, we want to talk about ministry during this great tribulation period. God has never left his world without a witness. And even though the church would have been taken up in rapture, God will now turn his attention to Israel and to Daniel's 70th week. And so he will set up a ministry team to do ministry in the midst of this firestorm called the Great Tribulation. So today we are going to talk about this ministry team. And I will begin by reading Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 through 4. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed all the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Before we get to the second coming of Jesus and his destruction of the Antichrist and his armies, I want to talk a bit about gospel ministry during this horrible seven-year period known as the Great Tribulation. The true Church of Christ would have been removed in rapture prior to the tribulation, and as such, the world would need another evangelistic ministry to proclaim the gospel during this time. As mentioned, God has never left the world without a witness and a means of salvation. And so, amid the bombardment of these 19 judgments, the gospel will be preached with corresponding intensity. During the seven-year period, the devil will also employ a three-pronged attack, led by him and the two beasts. The Lord will also engage a threefold ministry team to counteract the evil trinity. The ministry teams will consist of 144,000 Jews, three angels, and two prophets. Let's begin with the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. Revelation 14:1. Why Jewish evangelists? Remember, the true church would have been removed in rapture, and God will turn his attention to the Jews in fulfillment of Daniel's 70th week prophecy. Recall that the prophetic clock on Israel had stopped after 6 to 9 weeks of years, from the decree for the return of the Jews to rebuild Jerusalem to the time Messiah will be cut off. And so with the removal of the church, the clock begins to tick again for Israel's 70th week. This is also why this period of 7 years is known as the time of Jacob's trouble. And it is that time being described by Jesus in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. So the emphasis is on the Jews during this period, even though many Gentiles will also be saved. When Paul says to the saints at Rome that all Israel will be saved, Romans 11:26, he's referring to this period of intense evangelization and the conversion of a significant number of Jews. These 144,000 evangelists are young men who will be converted to Jesus. These are the ones who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Revelation 14:4. It is interesting indeed to note that Judah heads up the list of the 12 tribes, and not Reuben, who is the firstborn son. The tribes of Dan and Ephraim are also missing. Why? Reuben lost his inheritance after his sin with his father's concubine Bilhah, and Dan and Ephraim were guilty of idolatry. Their places were given to the tribes of Levi and Manasseh. They would learn that sin might lie dormant for thousands of years, but it always comes home to roost. God will seal this group of 144,000 Jews for the task of evangelism in the toughest of environments, so that the two beasts will not be able to harm them until their task is complete. They will preach the gospel to all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14. I grew up hearing that the church must send missionaries to all parts of the earth to preach the gospel if we want to hasten the return of the Lord. But this promise is only going to be realized during the tribulation through the ministry of these 144,000 men. Team number two consists of the three angels. This second group of evangelists operating during this period is that of a triad of celestial beings. It appears that these angelic heralds will be preaching from the skies. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." And another angel followed, saying, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." Revelation 14:6-11. This third group of evangelists is smaller than the others, but equally powerful, for they are empowered by the Spirit to perform signs and wonders. "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy, and they have power over waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, towns, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God enters them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake 7,000 people were killed, a and the rest were afraid, and gave glory to the God of heaven. Revelation 11:3-13. God will supply more grace to counteract and overpower the rise of evil and lawlessness during this period. From the text given in Revelation 11:3-13, we obtain some truths about these two witnesses. 1. They are Christ witnesses. He refers to these two men as my witnesses. From this we know that they are not false prophets, and that they will be spearheading the gospel witness in a world where the false prophet in his church, known as the whore that sits upon the waters, will be making life difficult for them, killing their converts, and rejoicing over it as a victory for truth. 2. Jesus will empower these two witnesses to preach the gospel in the latter half of the tribulation period. This is the 42 months, or 1,260 days, or 3.5 years, or times and times and half a time, spoken of by John and the prophet Daniel, Revelation 12 and Daniel 11. The prophet Malachi also intimates that these two witnesses, of which Elijah is likely to be one, will prophesy before the day of the Lord, and this we know begins at the second coming of Christ. In other words, he confirms that the ministry of these two men will take place in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Remember that prophecy, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord," Malachi 4:5. Earlier, I said that John the Baptist was Elijah, because Jesus confirmed it to be so when asked by his disciples, Matthew 11:14. But how can the real Elijah suddenly turn up before the second visible coming of the Lord? Did he not already come in the person of John the Baptist? The answer lies in a more comprehensive understanding of prophecy, which this discussion would not allow. Suffice it to say that many prophecies have what we call a now and a then fulfillment, meaning that it may repeat itself. In other instances, prophecies may have what we refer to as a double entendre, meaning that it can be fulfilled by more than one individual in different periods. A good example of this can be found in Isaiah 14, when God speaks to the king of Babylon and Lucifer as though they are one and the same person. The same can be said of the king of Tyre and Lucifer, as found in Ezekiel 28. In any event, the ministry of these two prophets will be highly effective, for they will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, Malachi 4:6. 3. The two prophets will be clothed in sackcloth as a sign of mourning because of the judgments that are being poured out on the earth, Revelation 11:3. Sackcloth, we know, has been the attire of Old Testament saints during times of mourning and solemn assemblies. 4. These two witnesses are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks who stand before the God of the earth. We first encounter this reference to two olive trees in the book of Zechariah, who prophesied around 546 BC. Considering that John saw them around 100 AD, these two witnesses have been beside the Lord for more than 600 years. This would exclude the possibility of John the Baptist being one of them. 5. The two witnesses will be given great power to execute their commission. During the time of their ministry, they will stop rain, turn waters into blood, and strike the earth with plagues. It is with this description in mind that many commentators believe the two men will be Moses and Elijah. The case for Moses and Elijah being the two witnesses gets additional support from the fact that it was these two men who also stood beside the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17:3-4. 6. Upon completing their ministry, God will remove the hedge from these men, and they will be left to the mercy of their enemies. Their murder will spark not outrage, but universal celebration. A new holiday will be declared, and people will share gifts in commemoration of the slaughter. It will be Anti-Christmas Day. We note here that they will be killed by the hands of wicked men, and that it is the beast from the bottomless pit who is credited with the murder. One difficulty remains, and that is how to explain these two men came down from heaven and were killed. Some have suggested that the two men are Elijah and Enoch, because these are the only two men who never died. Remember, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Genesis 5:24. And Elijah was taken up to heaven by chariots of fire. 2 Kings 2:11. The case is presented that since it is appointed unto man once to die, Hebrews 9:27, that these two men must return to earth to face physical death. It remains a mystery for now. The bodies of these two witnesses will be left to rot in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. Then shock and awe will hit the world. After 3.5 days, the men will be raised to life by the Spirit of God, and before the eyes of a shocked world, they will ascend to heaven. Revelation 11:11-12. At that very hour of their ascent, Jerusalem will be shaken by an earthquake that will result in a death toll of 7,000 men and the destruction of a tenth of the city. Many believe this is the same earthquake that was generated by the seventh vial judgment. Revelation 16:17-21. And like we have seen with all the judgments, at the end of it, many will curse God, but many will also glorify His name.